2. Titus chapter 2, I want us to start reading in verse number 1. The title for this message today is Teachers of Good Things. Teachers of Good Things. And we're going to read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Or excuse me, I want to read verse 6 also. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." And let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. And thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be in church today. I thank you for those that are here. Lord, I know that we have a lot of visitors. Many of these have come today in honor of their mother. And I do appreciate them being here for that reason. And I am thankful, Lord, for my mother. Thankful that you gave me a mother who brought me up in church. And a mother who's been so good to see after my needs as I've grown up, to pray for me, to help me, to love me. Lord, I'm thankful for a wife that's a good mother. Thankful, Lord, for every blessing that you send our way. And Lord, I do pray this morning that as we endeavor into your word, that you would help our minds to be clear and free from distraction. Lord, we see so many things. We go through so many things during the course of a week. It is hard sometimes to keep our mind focused on the Word of God. So, Lord, help us this morning for these few minutes to be able to concentrate on the Word of God. Lord, help us to have hearts that are tender and receptive. Lord, help us not to reject the truth of the Bible. Lord, most of all, I pray you'd give us the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, help us not to turn a deaf ear to what we hear or slough it off or go back out and continue on doing things that we know we ought not do. Lord, help us to apply the word of God to our lives that we can be more of the people you'd have us be. Lord, please give me liberty, clarity of thought and speech. Help me to say exactly what you want said. Nothing more and nothing less. And I pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Well, in the verses that we just read, the Apostle Paul, in writing to young Titus, addresses four age groups of believers. If you'll look again at the passage, you'll notice in verse number 2 that he addresses the aged or the older men. Then in verse number 3, he addresses the aged or the older women. In verse 4, he addresses the young women, and also in verse 5. And then in verse number 6, he addresses young men. So four different age groups of believers are addressed. And in light of the fact that today is Mother's Day, I'm going to focus on what Paul says here in the passage to the older as well as the younger women. I want you to notice with me as a kind of an introduction to the message, to sort of lay a foundation for what I believe the Lord wants us to deal with. Again, at verse number 3, and notice what Paul says there to these aged women or about the aged women. Look at verse number 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That's the first thing that he says about the aged, the older women, that they are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. The idea is that these ladies are to have a holy conduct. That's what behavior is about. It's how you act. It's how you live, the way you conduct your life. And here in the passage, Paul says that the aged women are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. So they are to have a holy conduct. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter talks about holy women who trusted in God. And he's referring to certain of the ladies you read about in the Old Testament who had this holy conduct that God expects really from all of his people. So the first thing I see here in verse 3 is that they are to have holy conduct. And I believe as he goes on in the verse, Paul points out some of these things, these holy attributes that should be a part of the aged women's lives. Notice what he goes on to say here. He says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, number one, not false accusers. That means that these women are not to accuse a person or a group of people of something they haven't done. They are not to make a false accusation. There's nothing they are to say about someone or a group of people that they don't have proof is true. That's what he means when he says not false accusers. Then he goes on to say, not given to much wine. This is all part of having behavior that becomes holiness. You're not a false accuser. You're very careful about what you say about others. And then also, you're not given to much wine. The idea is that you're not to be a wino. Y'all understood that? I could have said it differently, but you understood what I said, right? There's no need to muddy up the water and make it hard to understand. Let's just keep it down where we can all understand it. You're not to be a wino. You're not to be a drunkard. You're not to be given over to alcohol is the idea. I don't believe anybody should be given over to alcohol. This is something that is sort of a pet peeve to me, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time dealing with it because that's not the message, but it is very important. What I want you to understand, though, is that according to the Bible, not according to the world, holiness and alcohol don't go together. They don't mix. And I can promise you, speaking from experience, that alcohol is not going to lead you into godly, holy behavior. I promise you that. It's just not going to be that way, contrary to what we see and contrary to what we read. I am so amazed at these people who talk so highly of certain people that are stars and important that they believe to be godly individuals. And then you watch the programs that they have on TV and some of these godly people that go around to these different churches giving their little speeches and their orations. You know what you see them doing on television? Sucking back on some suds on their program. Endorsing alcohol, and yet they're godly. Let me tell you, godly and liquor don't go together, friend. Now, I realize that if you like to drink, right now you're probably offended by what I just said. And you're already flipping through that Rolodex in your mind looking for all those excuses that you've come up with to justify your desire, let's be real about it, your desire to drink alcohol. But here's reality. It doesn't matter about your opinion or my opinion. What matters is thus saith the Lord. And in the Bible, liquor and holiness don't go together. Now that's the truth. Amen, Brother Keith. Let's move on before I kill the meeting. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Notice, third thing, verse 3, teachers of good things. So these older women are to be in behavior as becometh holiness, and part of this behavior, part of a holy lifestyle, having holy conduct, is them being teachers. And I want you to notice some things about their teaching. Number one, I want you to notice what they are to teach. What are these older ladies supposed to teach? It says in verse number 3, teachers of good things, right? Good things, not bad things, not carnal things, not worldly things, not wicked things, not sinful things. We got enough of that, all right? We don't need any more of that teaching, amen? We don't need any more of that garbage. What we need is some good things being passed down from the older women to certain other women, as we're going to notice. In fact, take a look at it. Not only what they're supposed to teach, but who they are supposed to teach. Who are the aged women supposed to teach? Look at verse number 4. That they may teach the young women. So the older women, those that are more seasoned. Trying to be politically correct here, okay? Don't want to get in trouble this morning on Mother's Day. Those that are more seasoned, those that have some years on them, the ones that you think would be more mature, amen? As we grow up physically, we ought to grow up spiritually and learn from our experiences, learn from the Bible, and have more maturity about us. And these older ladies are supposed to teach the younger ladies. That is, according to the Bible, their God-given responsibility. Am I right? I'm just pointing out to you what the Bible says right here. The aged women are to teach the younger women, and they're to teach them good things, not bad things. Good things is what they're supposed to teach. Now here's a third thing I want you to notice about their teaching. I want you to notice the way they are to teach. How are the older ladies supposed to teach the younger ladies? Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, they are to teach through instruction. Teach through instruction. This is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says that all Scripture, not some of it, but every bit of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That's instruction in right living. That's instruction in doing that which is right in the eyes of God. Not what is right in the eyes of man, but what is right in the eyes of God. So one purpose for the Scripture is to give us instruction, to show us how it is that God expects us to live, what He expects us to do. And I believe the aged women are to give instruction from the Bible to the young women. Now understand, for this to happen, the aged women have got to be acquainted with the Bible, right? I mean, there's no possible way that you can instruct anybody from the Bible if you don't know the Bible yourself. So it's on the older ladies. Listen to me, ladies who are more seasoned. It's on you, okay? God has put the ball in your courts. It's on you to acquaint yourself with the Bible so that one thing you can do with that knowledge is instruct younger women on what God expects out of them. And my, how we need that type of instruction in our world today. We don't need to rely on the television. We don't need to rely on things that we hear from the world. We need to rely on what the Bible says, what God has to say. That's what the young women who are coming up need to hear. What does God want from me? How does God want me to live my life? How can I live a life that would honor and please the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what they need to be taught by the older ladies. And they're to do it through the Bible. Instruction. Give them the Word of God. I tell you another way that they are to teach, and this is very important as well. Not only through instruction, but they're to teach through illustration. Illustration. Y'all still with me this morning? Illustration. It is the responsibility of the aged women, the older ladies, to set a good, godly example for the young women who are coming up in the church. Amen? It's very important. I believe that the younger women of this church right here should be able to look to their elders. I'm talking about the elder women. those that are on up in years. And listen, sometimes we're a little touchy about this age thing. If you're older, that's nothing to be touchy about. I think it's something to be grateful for, that God has preserved your life and blessed you with the years that you have. So don't be touchy about that, okay? And if you're older, okay, then you ought to set the kind of example that these young ladies coming up can look to you and see from how you conduct your life, how God expects them to conduct their life. That's very important. You older ladies are responsible to give instruction, to give illustration to the young women. That's what Paul says here, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. That's your God-given responsibility. Now, what I want to do here in the rest of our time, the remainder of our time, is focus in on these good things. We talked about how the aged women are to teach the younger women good things. Well, what are some of these good things? What is it that the aged women are to say to the young women? What is it that they are to demonstrate through their own lives to the young women? Well, those things are found here in verses 4 and 5. There are eight good things that these aged women are to teach the young women. You can take a deep breath. Exhale right here. I'm not going to preach on all eight of them this morning, okay? I know I made some of you nervous right there. I tell you what I'm going to do, because I don't want to have to rush through this. I'm going to preach on four of them this morning, and I'm going to preach on the other four tonight. I hope that if it's possible for you to be back tonight, you'll come back tonight. Because you need to hear, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. Amen. We need to get it all. But for the sake of time, I'm going to deal with four this morning. I'm going to deal with the other four tonight. So try to be here. But let's look at these verses together. Notice some of the good things these aged women are to teach the younger women. Paul starts out in verse number 4 by saying that they may teach the young women to be sober. That's the first thing on the list. This is one of those good things that you older ladies are to teach to the younger ladies. You're to teach them to be sober. Obviously, this has more than one definition, more than one meaning. First of all, it goes back to what we talked about a moment ago. You literally are to be sober, okay? You're not to be a drunkard, not to be given over to alcohol. You're to stay off of that. But then a second meaning, and this is very important, in the word sober is to be serious-minded. And this is something that applies to every age group, not just to the young women. For example, look at verse number 2. When Paul starts out, he says that the aged men be sober. So it's something that applies to older men. Look down at verse 6, the last verse we read. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So it applies to the older men and applies to the younger men. And if the older women are to teach it to the younger women, that means it applies to the older women and the younger women. Amen. So this matter of being sober-minded is for all of us. But we're talking today about mothers, about ladies. And what the older women are to teach the younger women is to be sober. That means you're to have a serious mindset. Instead of being a silly woman, you're to be a serious-minded woman. Spiritual things should be revered in your life. This is what it's talking about. It has to do mainly with your attitude toward that which is spiritual. And every believer should have a serious mindset about the things of God. Those are things that should never, ever be taken lightly in our lives. Those are the things that should be the priority of our lives. We should revere that which is spiritual. We should respect that which is spiritual. We should demonstrate in the way we live our lives that we have a great respect for the things of God. That's what the Lord wants. Don't ever take the things of God lightly. Now, I'll tell you one reason why this is so important. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, this is what Peter says. He says, be sober. That's what we're talking about. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we all have an adversary, right? If you're saved, you have an adversary. That adversary is the devil. He's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. His desire is to ruin your life. That's what he wants. He not only wants to ruin your life as an individual, he wants to ruin your family. He would love to ruin this church right here. That's his desire, to devour. You say, would he actually come after a lady? Yes. Talking about mothers and ladies here today. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. The very first time, not number two, not number three, but the very first time that the devil shows up in your Bible, do you know who he comes after? He came after Eve, didn't he? Ladies, you need to understand, the devil's after you. He's after you as an individual, ladies. He's after your family. Do you understand that? The devil would love to ruin your relationship with your husband. He would love to ruin your relationship with your children. He would love to just make an absolute mess out of your life. And if he sees an opening, I promise you, he will come after you. Talking to the ladies. He came after Eve. Unfortunately, Eve gave in. This is why it's so important that you be sober. Why the aged women are to teach the younger women to be sober-minded, to have a serious mindset about the things of God, so that you can stand against the devil when he comes against you. You need to have a serious mindset about heaven, about hell, about right living, about the Bible, about prayer, about church, about temptation, about what the devil really does want to do with your life. You need to have a serious mindset, not to be some silly person who's just consumed with a bunch of stuff that really is trivial and doesn't matter, but have your mind focused and alert and attentive on the things of God. That's what being sober is about, and this is something that the aged women are to teach the young women. But number two, let's move on. Verse number four, that they may teach the young women to be sober, and then to love their husbands. I've always found that amazing. I really have. It's amazing that he'd have to put in here, right? That the aged women are to teach the young women to love their husbands. But then when you get to thinking about some of us husbands, you get a little clarification on that, don't you? You understand why he had to put that in there for these ladies, because of how us husbands are. I mean, let's be honest, me and we ain't always easy to love, are we? I know some of you guys think you're God's gift to the world, but get off of it this morning, all right? You ain't all you cracked up to be and what you got everybody thinking you are. Hey, that woman lives with you. She knows you, buddy. Better than anybody in this world, all right? She knows what you are. She's seen you at your best. She's seen you at your worst. Sometimes it's not easy to love us men. It's not. Sometimes it's a difficult thing just because of the way we are. But here it is, ladies, all right? As hard as it may be, it does say right here that the aged women are to teach the young women to love their husbands. Isn't that what the Bible says? So ladies, if you have a husband, then what God wants you to do is love that husband. And I would point out what he says here. He says love. He doesn't say endure. He doesn't say tolerate. Some of that may be involved, I understand, but what he says is love. I do see couples from time to time, and it really appears that they're just tolerating each other. You know what I mean? They're just kind of enduring each other. It doesn't seem like there's any love that exists between them at all. And I think some of them have just settled down and accepted that. Hey, I don't love him like I once did. He doesn't love me like he once did. We're just going to grit our teeth and bear it and kind of get through this thing to the bitter end. That's not how God intends for a man and woman to be together. If you're married, man, he wants you to love your wife, right? If you're married, ma'am, he wants you to love your husband. Not just tolerate and endure and just barely get through by the skin of your teeth. He wants you to love one another. And again, it's not always easy. It takes a little effort, a little effort. When you first get married, you know how it is, right? Got all them ooey-gooey emotions. Just living off love. Y'all know how it is. Remember how it was, you know, when you met and dated, courted, whatever you call it. Got to get just all in love, had that first love, man. It didn't matter what he did, right? It didn't matter, man. He's my man. Don't fool with my man. He's the love of my life. I mean, you just thought he walked on water and you had all these emotions, but then, you know, a year later, a couple years later, what I'm trying to say is all that emotion stuff wears off after a while, doesn't it? And we get down to where it's real. And I'm going to tell you something. Contrary to what the world says, love is not emotion. You understand that? Love is commitment and sacrifice. That's what love is. And that's what it takes sometimes. It's not always easy, but if you're going to love your husband, you're going to have to be committed. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, and that thing goes both ways. Ladies, you hang on. Father's Day's coming up. Love your husbands. And I would say this. Look at what he says. Love their husband. He didn't say for you to love somebody else's husband. In a world that is filled with infidelity, this Bible still says that's wrong. And if you listen to the garbage you see on television and what some of your peers might say, you'll begin to think it's all right to look somewhere else. To set your eyes and your affections on someone other than the person you made a commitment to when you stood at that altar and said, till death do us part. It is not right for you to set your affection and your eyes on anybody other than the one you're married to. Now that's the truth. Love your husband, not somebody else. Well, you know, he's just so much better than mine and all. I've heard so much of that garbage. I'm sick of hearing all that. You married the man, right? You made that choice. You made that commitment. You be faithful to that man that you married. Love your husband. Amen. Have to break my sign out every once in a while. Number three, here's the third thing. Not only are they to teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, but number three, he says in verse 4, to love their children. And again, you know, you just wonder, why would he have to tell these older women to teach the younger women to love their children? I mean, what is more natural than a woman loving her children, right? I mean, the Bible does talk, though, about how in the last days there's going to be a lot of unnatural affection. And I think we're seeing that a lot nowadays. And one of the most unnatural things that you'll ever lay your eyes on in this world is a woman that does not love that child or those children that they carried in their womb for 9 months. That is as unnatural a thing as you'll ever see. And yet we're seeing that a lot more nowadays. Women just throw their kids aside, just get rid of them, throw them off on somebody else. Why? Why? Because they love their self more than they love their children. They throw them off or get rid of them because they have their career, what they want to pursue and all this other stuff. So they just throw those kids aside. That is horrible. That is terrible. It is unnatural to see stuff like that going on. What the Lord wants is for you to love your husband and to love your children. And just like sometimes it's hard to love us men, hey, sometimes it's hard to love your kids, right? I mean, let's just take your halo off for a little while this morning. Sometimes it's hard to love them youngins that you have in your home, isn't it? They don't always do things like you would want them to. I used to know everything they was to know about raising children until I had one. And then I realized I don't know anything, okay? All out the window, every bit of it. Before you just come talk to me, I'll give you the best advice in the world about raising a child. Don't even come talk to me anymore. I got no help for you, nothing to say to you. Don't know. That's not always easy. But it's in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Love your children. You make sure that you are not only a devoted wife, but that you are a devoted mother. That you see to the needs of your children. That you show them the love and the affection that they need. That you, as a mother, give them the instruction that they need. You teach them about the Bible, about the things of God. You demonstrate through your life the kind of person that God wants them to be. And this is true whether your child is male or female. But listen, ladies, if you have some little girls coming along, it is so critical that you, as the mother, show them little girls what God wants from them. So important that you show them that. I can promise you this, more times than not, when they get grown, they're going to be just like you. Do you understand me? It's important. Love your children. Sometimes loving your children means that you got to give them some discipline. Discipline's a dirty word in our society today, but it's still a Bible word. Some of you people in here that's a little older, you know what discipline's about, don't you? You got it when you was coming up, didn't you? Mama and Dad, now we have evolved beyond all that now. Yeah, and our world's paying for it too. And our kids are paying for it, you understand me? We need to get back to the Bible or we're going to go back to the jungle, you hear me? That's what's going on. But we're to the point where we think it's wrong, you know, if we discipline children. Discipline is important. In fact, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. People say, I love them too much to discipline them. According to the Bible, if you don't discipline your children, you don't love your children. Now, you can say you do all day long, but I'm going to go with what God says over what anybody says. And according to the Bible, if you don't discipline your children, you don't love your children. Loving your children sometimes requires discipline. And anybody that has kids knows how hard it is sometimes to give that discipline. I mean, the last thing you want to do, right, is cause your child grief or pain. I mean, it takes a sick, demented individual to take pleasure in having to discipline their children, right? I mean, it's not something that, I get to do that. No, it's not something I necessarily desire to do, but it's something I understand God expects me to do, and it has to be done for the well-being of the child or the children. That's part of loving your children. Here's number four, and I'm going to be done. The older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and then verse number five, the very beginning, to be discreet. Discreet is a word that's very similar to discernment. And that's one of the definitions of being discreet. It has to do with having discernment, with practicing and having good judgment is the idea. This is something that all of us need, really. We need this discernment. This discretion, the good judgment to know right for wrong, to know what is best for ourselves, to know what is best for our children, to know what is best when it comes to our home and our families. We need this. How do you get discretion? How do you get that? Well, I'll tell you where you get it. You get it from the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14, we're not going to take the time to go there, but it talks about the strong meat of the word and how those that have their senses exercised with the strong meat of the word of God are able to discern between good and evil. How do you get discernment? How do you get to the point as a woman where you're able to make good, sound decisions for yourself and for your family? You got to stay in this Bible right here. That's where you get that discretion, that discernment. I tell you, there's a little more to being discreet than just good judgment. It also has to do with self-restraint, having some temperance about yourself, being more low-key. not loud and boisterous and just talking all the time and saying whatever comes to your mind. It's self-restraint in speech and in behavior. That's very important. How many of you would agree it's important how much somebody talks? I know some of you believe that's important because you've complained to me about folks who talk too much. Amen? The Bible does say be swift to hear and slow to speak, doesn't it? That's part of being discreet, just not talking all the time, just going on and on, having some self-restraint in what you say, how you say it, when you say it, having some self-restraint in your behavior, not just letting yourself go, but holding back on the reins. All of this is involved in discretion. I want you to turn with me real quick, and this is where we're going to close. I want you to turn back with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's where we read about the virtuous woman. And I think if you look at what Paul says, and then you read what is said here in Proverbs 31, you see much similarity. Paul is talking, I believe, in Titus about what is required for a woman to be a virtuous woman. Look at some of the things here that are said. We're not going to read all of this, but just going along with this matter of discretion. Look at Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 16. This has to do with discernment. It says about this virtuous woman that she considereth a field and buyeth it. She considers a field and then she buys. You know what that means? She's able to consider that field and discern, have some discretion, some judgment that this is a good field. This is something that will be good for our family. And then she buys that. That's part of having discretion about you, being able to discern about those things. Verse 18 says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. How does she perceive that? She's got some discretion. She's able to discern between good and evil, to make judgment. She can look at something and know, all right, this is good and this is not good. That's discretion. Good judgment. But then, last of all, this matter of having some self-restraint. Look at what it says in Proverbs 31. In verse number 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Let's bow our head for prayer. I do hope and pray that you'll make plans to be back tonight as we try to finish up the message. Ladies, I pray that your heart's desire this morning is to be the woman, not that the world wants you to be, but that God wants you to be. If you'll look at the passage we've just been studying and begin to apply these things to your life, I promise you, you'll bring yourself into line with what God intends for your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church. Please bless your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.